The name of the workshop is Hormone Hacking, Harvesting Endocrine Disruptors, which is going to be really interesting. We're going to get to that in a minute. But first, I want to ask you, so you're a, what would you call yourself, a bioartist of some kind? And what does that mean? You work with science and art?
That's a good question. The bioartist thing is a weird one. I think lots of us that are framed that way are a little bit like resistant to it, but that's fine. I'll totally take bioartist. I'm good with it. One of my friends who's like a theorist, he tags what I do as tactical media ecology, but that's too clever for me. So I'll just go with bioartist.
I like that one. What got you into all of this stuff? Working with art and science, let's just put it that way.
I think early on when I was much younger, I was like, you know, a mimetic drawer and painter and stuff. And then growing up in Alberta, I thought it was important to be like a scientist or an economist or something. So I kind of immersed myself in these like much more rigid rule-based worlds and really considered going down the path of working for an oil company as an engineer, because that's what good Alberta kids do. And then I realized that seemed horrible. And my hippie parents were like, you don't want to do that. So they really pushed me into the art side of things. So I went to art school, decided to come to grad school, worked with Paul Vanous and Steve Kurtz from Critical Art Ensemble and Stephanie Rothenberg. And they kind of roped me into this weird, bizarre world and sent me down this path that now 7 years later, here I am talking to you about it.
Well, they're all really amazing artists, so you're keeping good company.
Yeah, I sure am.
Maybe you can talk to us a little bit about the workshop, which is being held, just a little bit of promo for it, tomorrow, Wednesday. And it's from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Sanctuary, 3361 6th Avenue. Hormone Hacking, Harvesting Endocrine Disruptors. What is that all about?
Sure. Well, what we're going to be doing tomorrow, more or less, is trying to just expose to people to just how like pervasive endocrine disruptors are in our waterways or in our foods or in other like common sources that you come in contact with every day. So we're going to use something called solid phase extraction, which is like a DIY version of something called solid phase extraction, which uses sort of specialized filters, but they're actually really closely related to cigarette filters in material. The density is a little bit different. And we're going to use those in conjunction with like a methanol buffer and some syringes and create a DIY version of the solid phase extraction system to actually remove endocrine disruptors from these ecological bodies, whether waterways or food sources. And then we're going to remove those endocrine disruptors from the methanol buffer and see what we have left so that people can actually kind of get a good visual of just how much is in their day-to-day lives.
So when you say just how much, you mean just how much estrogen is in their lives? And how can we be testing all of this, like kind of, you know, on our own? I mean, I know we'll learn at the workshop, but...
Sure. Well, solid phase extraction, especially with these little filter cartridges that you were so nice enough to order for us, they're specifically designed to remove endocrine disruptors, especially estrogenic compounds, from fluids or from liquids. So using solid phase extraction, we're going to get a whole bunch of stuff other than just... like estrogenic compounds. However, that's the thing that we're going to be most interested in looking at. There's something called an ELISA test kit, which we can use after the fact to kind of really identify like a concentration. Mm-hmm. But it's very complicated and very expensive. Mm-hmm. And it's not exactly something that we can do a DIY process. So I'll probably take people's filters. And then if they want to see the results, then I'll run this test later and then make that available to them so that they can see what's actually out there. And so- I want to just make note that solid phase extraction was something that I figured out. Well, I didn't figure out alongside some wonderful collaborators, most notably Mary Magic from formerly of MIT and currently, I think, in Indonesia doing a Fulbright on a similar topic. So I want to make sure they get some good credit. We developed this at Media Lab Prado in Spain a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Mary's great. That's great. Shout out to Mary. So let's backtrack a little bit and let's talk about some of the terms of what you're using. So can you describe for me what an endocrine disruptor actually is?
Sure. Endocrine disruptors, there's a couple different types. So you've got, for instance, we're going to talk about largely estrogenic compounds. So endocrine disruptors are things that mimic hormones. And so once they kind of come in contact with like hormone receptors, they fit perfectly, for lack of a better term, into that receptor and trick your body into thinking that they're actually there. So in terms of estrogen, what we're really looking to do is see if we can't make like a kind of emancipatory technology, perhaps, for making like DIY birth control or hormone therapy. But more importantly, to kind of point out that there's some serious flaws in our political system when people don't have equal access to this stuff.
So commonly, where would we find these endocrine disruptors?
Sure. They're commonly found, there's a lot of different places, BPAs in a lot of plastics, for instance. From industrial sources like fracking, there's a lot more than just like water released when you do fracking. So there's a lot of like complex compounds that are released, and a lot of them are endocrine disruptors. Atrazine is one of the most pervasive, though. Atrazine is a herbicide that's used commonly, especially for corn and sorghum and other really important foodstuffs in the United States. And atrazine, famously, thanks to the work of Tyrone Hayes at Berkeley — Tyrone Hayes also needs a good shout out here — realized that atrazine was fueling the development of intersex frogs. And I'm really interested, as is are a bunch of people like my collaborator Liz Flint and Mary Magic, in these endocrine disruptors as these kind of like residues of like capitalist pursuit. And not to be like a crazy left-wing lunatic or anything like that, which
That's
is also
fine.
Great. Yeah, okay.
You're in good company.
I am Canadian after all, so I get labeled that no matter where I am. It's really interesting to a lot of us that this system tends to create the very like conditions for the development of something like an intersex frog with you. If you extrapolate that into like human bodies in like a speculative future, it's one of, you know, these kind of like bodies that oftentimes like right wing politics are super scared of. So it's kind of really a strange, ironic, interesting intersection.
Yeah, because it sounds like we're ingesting all of this all the time through our water sources and our food sources. Is that
sure.
right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly. Yeah. It's out there all over the place and from so many different places. So rinse your vegetables. That's not going to do it.
Yeah, that's. I know what I was going to say, but good try.
Yeah.
And what got you interested in these kind of DIY practices? I mean, you work at a university, you probably could get access to, you know, proper laboratories. Is it what's advantageous about a DIY situation?
Sure. Well, I don't consider myself much of like a biohacker, citizen scientist or anything like that. Originally, when I was thinking about open source estrogen when I was in graduate school, it was as a result of meeting my now wife who needed to get birth control. And she was, as a naive Canadian, I'm like, well, that's not very hard. You know, it's like 25 cents. You just go to the pharmacy and away you go. Apparently not. So my naive Canadian self was introduced to the whole idea of the complicated insurance system, et cetera, in the United States. And so I kind of flippantly one day said, well, why can't we just like make it? And that sent me down the path of trying to synthesize estrogen and estradiol from cholesterol from a chicken's egg, which I got a reasonable distance on, but it never fully worked. And yeah, that kind of led me down this path. It was really just like my naive assumptions that everybody has like equitable access. Another really important thing for me is explaining that it's all well and good. And I really like the idea of like biohacking and stuff, but sometimes I worry that it's a little too, it's still a very like privileged thing. And it uses specific like esoteric language that usually requires like higher education. And a lot of the people that could most benefit from these technologies is like kind of speculative or DIY like approaches to something
hands-on,
like birth control,
yeah.
Yeah, hands-on stuff, are people that don't have equitable access to education. And so for me, it's like more of a thing about pointing out the like deeper systemic flaws about access, not just access to things like birth control or hormone therapy, but access to education.
That's fantastic. And you've been talking about setting up these kinds of a place like the Sanctuary and Nature Lab back in Allegheny. I know you haven't gotten much of a tour here yet because you just flew into town, but can you talk about what some of the goals for a place like that might be, and maybe it'll match Nature Labs?
Sure. Well, you know, when I see Troy, this is the first time I've seen it. It has a lot of parallels to the small town of Meadville that I live in, where Allegheny College is located. It's a Rust Belt town. It's a tool and die town. And it has a very large, like, undereducated population, not by their own choice, where the physical environment that they that a lot of people live in is hugely compromised by things like endocrine disruptors and heavy metals in the soil and all over the place. And I think somewhere like the sanctuary could really benefit the people of the town and actually get the college students that are kind of in this like white tower of academia, literally up on the hill in our small town, down onto the ground and interacting in a really meaningful way with the people most affected by like the political choices that are being made not by them.
Totally great. Thank you so much for coming and speaking with us. So the workshop is being held October 10th, Wednesday, from 3 to 6 here at the Sanctuary through Nature Lab. And it is Hormone Hacking, Harvesting Endocrine Disruptors with artist and educator Byron Rich. Thank you for our interview. This has been fab.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.